And today we're also looking at the Song of Eternity.
And as we do, we're also celebrating Epiphany, which Pastor David and our kids have set up so nicely for us. Epiphany is a word that pertains to the revelation of the supernatural. And specifically for us, we connect Epiphany with the wise men. These wise men who traveled from the Far East in order to find Jesus, the Messiah. And this is Epiphany is especially meaningful for you and I because we, like the wise men, are Gentiles. We're not natural-born citizens of God's chosen people. And yet we know that Jesus came into this world for the sake of every man, every woman, every child. And so we as outsiders have been brought in. And that's a cause for celebration. So we celebrate Epiphany. But we know that God has always been in the work of revealing Himself. The very creation that surrounds us, the night sky and the sprawling trees and the varied animal life that we see, these are all, they all reveal something about God. We have the law, Ten Commandments, sums up another revelation of who God is. And by the way, next week we'll be starting a new series on the Ten Commandments, so please stay tuned for that, as the regulations that God lays out reveal even more about who God is. Now you and I, we also have the ability to read Scripture, to study the Bible, God's Word. If you want to learn about someone, it's good to read what they wrote. It's good to listen to what they have said. And so the Bible reveals to us even more of who God is. We can spend time in prayer. Prayer reveals to us who God is. The more time you spend with somebody, we know the better you get to know them. And God is no exception. And so Epiphany, this revelation, is what God is all about. And while these sources of information are very valuable in finding out about God, there is, of course, one supreme, ultimate source, and that is Jesus. Right? Jesus. So last week, Pastor David shared with us a very old song from the early stages of the Christian church. Paul includes this song in his letter to the Colossians. It's called the Christ Hymn. And in that poem, we learn that Jesus is the very image of God. So if you want to see God, you need only look upon Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of who God is. And in our Advent season, we heard many different songs of Christmas. There should be a slide that recaps all the weeks, just so we can take a quick look. We heard a song from the prophet Isaiah. We heard a song from Zechariah, from the angels, from Simeon, from Jesus' mother Mary. We learned a song last week that we sing as a church, as the people of God. And now today, we are going to consider one more poem. And this one comes from the very throne room of heaven. And it's found in Revelation chapter 4. And in Revelation, we see this glorious scene. And I found a picture that kind of depicts this scene. To be honest, I kind of hesitated to even put a picture because it might be well done and by a great artist, but it's always lame. It's always so much worse than the real thing, you know? So there's a suggestion of what it possibly might be like. But John describes a throne enveloped in rainbow light, surrounded by 24 elders wearing crowns. And from the throne comes thunder and lightning, and before it, the throne, stands what John calls four living creatures. And they have six wings, and one is like a lion, one is like a calf, one is like a man, and one like an eagle. And these creatures apparently have one job. They fly around and sing unceasingly this song that we find in verse 8. And that song is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is coming." We sang that song this morning. It's a catchy song. It's a chorus worth repeating. It is, after all, the song of eternity. So let's just say it together here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is coming. Now the 24 elders are caught up in the song as they join in. And John reports that they can't just sit in worship. They must physically respond. And so these elders take their crowns and cast them down before the throne, and they bow face down to the ground. And as they do, they join in singing their own song, verse 11. And their song goes like this: "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, because you created all things. It is by your will that they existed and were created." It's a little less catchy, but it is a song nevertheless. And we know, of course, that John wrote this glorious scene down. He recorded it, and it's in the book that we call Revelation. And God showed John something we had never seen before, an epiphany. Now, this epiphany was nothing new. It's just a normal day in the heavenly throne room. But to us, to the uninitiated, this account holds a great deal of education, a great deal of information for us to learn, and a great deal for us to experience. Right? We know that John did not write this account down so it's just some nice trivia that we could know about heaven. He wrote it down so that we could join in. We could join in worshiping the King. We could join in with the song that the elders sing. And so this truth is meant to be experienced. It's meant to be lived out. Now Christmas, for most of us, it's over and done with. You know, heck, we're already into the new year. Decorations are coming down. Everyone's busy trying to come up with reasons why they have not kept up their resolutions. But we cannot forget that this baby born in the manger is the same person sitting on the throne. This Jesus is the Son of God. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. We've all heard the angels sing, have we not? We sang with them this morning. We sang with them, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." It means glory to God in the highest. Right? Not glory to God in the middlest or the pretty goodest. Right? Glory to God in the highest. In the highest place, He deserves the most honor we can muster. Not just an afterthought or not just an hour once a week. Glory to God in the highest. The angels get it. The four living creatures and the elders, they get it. And it's been revealed to us so that we might get it too. The truth, that this truth is meant to be experienced, to be lived out. If we can go back to that slide, the holy, holy slide. We're going to say that one more time together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is coming. Now, Scripture tells us a lot about God. If you read it, you'll find that God is just, that He's slow to anger, He's loving, He's gracious, He's compassionate. The Bible identifies Him as a Father. But holy is the only adjective ever used in triplicate. Right? God is not holy. He's holy times three. He's an entirely different class of holiness. Right? And that's actually what the word means. To be holy is to be set apart, to be completely different, to be distinct. And because God is set apart, He's also completely pure and undefiled by the pollution of sin. God is so holy, there is nothing beyond Him or above Him. And this, I don't know, this makes me chuckle every time, but throughout Scripture you'll see that God swears by Himself. He swears upon His own name. You know, not upon His mother's grave, not upon anything else. He swears on His own name because there's nothing higher than God Himself. And I was thinking about God's holiness in connection with the creation story in Genesis. Because in Revelation, you know, in John's vision, we see God is so majestic and glorious, and we are so small and insignificant. compared to God. We can only bow and grovel. But in Genesis, humans are the crowning moment of all creation. Right? We're the only thing in all the world that is made in His image. And we are even put above the angels. And so if all we know of God is the story of Genesis, or the story of creation, we could get a pretty big head on us pretty fast. And if you continue to read Genesis, you'll see that's exactly what happens. Right? A couple chapters in, God has to send a flood to wipe out all of humanity because of our rampant wickedness. 2 chapters after that, God has to scramble our language because we've decided to build a giant tower to exalt ourselves. So even though we as humans have gone awry, nevertheless, we are holy among the rest of creation. Right? We have an inherent sacred worth because God Himself has set us apart when He made us. But I want to take another look at the story. We know that in the beginning, God speaks, "Let there be light," and light appears, and light is good. And God spends the rest of the week saying things, and those things come into existence. And so by His very Word, aka by Jesus, who is the Word of God, but by His very Word, God creates all things purely out of nothing. Right? Talk about holy. And I want to look at how is Adam created. God says, "Let's make man in our likeness." But now chapter 2 fills us in on the details. See, we do not appear on the scene in the same way light appears. We are not created from nothing. Right? You and I are second hand, so to speak. Because God takes some dirt and He forms it into the image, sculpts a man in His image, and then He breathes life into him. And so, we are dirt. We are dirt that has been made holy. So we've been set apart to take care of the earth. We've been set apart to live in relationship with God. But at the same time, Genesis makes very clear that even though we are made in God's image, we are not God, not even close. Right? He is far and away above and beyond us. He is set apart from us. We are made from the stuff of the earth. So God is holy, holy, holy. He is God. We are sentient piles of dirt. Right? And our struggle throughout all of human history, throughout all the age of the church, throughout all of last week, is to understand our place. Much of the time, we are like children who plant ourselves in the driver's seat and demand the keys. Somehow we keep thinking that we are in charge, that we are worthy, that we are capable, and surely, slowly but surely, we find that crown that maybe one time we had thrown on the ground, but we find it again and we put it on our head, and before too long we creep our way up into the glory of the throne, and we take a seat, and we settle in. But thank God for this song. Thank God for this song of eternity, because this song puts us in our place, in the place that we were meant to be. Right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is coming. There's many worship songs that have put that refrain to music, but I wanted to share the lyrics to one that, this is an older song that I know from my college days. But I wanted to just share this with you as it takes these words, but it adds a question. It says, "How can it be that someone like me is singing along with them? All I can do is look up to you and be overwhelmed again. How can it be that someone like me, dirt, is even allowed to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is, and who will always be in love with me." See, we need to know this song. We need to sing it out to each other. We need to sing it to ourselves every day. Because otherwise, we look upon Christmas cards and nativity scenes and pageants and mangers and swaddling clothes and we think, Jesus was a cute, poor little baby. Oh, come, let us adore Him, because isn't He adorable? And yes, He was. He was fully human. He was made of dirt like you and me. But think about it. I walk around and live my life knowing that babies are less than me. I can walk and talk and feed myself. And it's certainly a strange concept to worship a baby. It's almost too strange. And so we must never forget that that little baby is also our Creator. He is holy, holy, holy. And He sits enthroned in the highest heaven where all creation will bow before Him. That's a pretty good end to the story, but there is a little bit more here I want to share. We're going to go to our memory verse. Our memory verse is laid down in the heart of biblical law in the book of Leviticus. It's the best way to say that. Leviticus, and it's repeated to us by the Apostle Peter. It's a simple command with a simple reason behind it. Be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. Be set apart. Be different. Don't be like the world around you. Don't be like the nations around you. Don't be like the culture around you. Be like me because I am holy. 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 Now that's easier said than done, of course. But we have a chance. We have a chance. And I love this passage from Deuteronomy. We're kind of jumping around a little bit, but Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses speaks to the Israelites before they move into the promised land. I want you to hear these words, church. He says, "This command that I'm giving you right now is definitely not too difficult for you." All right? "It is not unreachable. It isn't up in heaven somewhere so that you have to ask, who will go up for us to heaven and get it for us so that we can hear it and do it? Nor is it across the ocean somewhere so that you have to ask, who will cross the ocean for us and get it for us so that we can hear it and do it? Not at all. The word is very close to you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart waiting for you to do it. This truth is meant to be experienced, to be lived out." And our church is here to love, to grow, and to serve. We are here to make disciples. We want our members to live into the holiness that God has made possible for us. We want to walk together on a journey toward that holiness. And so sometimes that means we have to push each other along. Sometimes we have to pull each other along. But the Word is close to us. And we can do it. We can be holy. God has shown us. He's revealed how it can be done. And as we move into the year ahead, we can go about living our days in a different manner. Right? It's 2020. It's 2020. And maybe we need to increase our devotional life and give God more of our day. Maybe we need to be more committed to a life of prayer, laying our concerns before God or being in prayer for others. Maybe we need to step out of our comfort zones and be willing to be challenged in our faith. Maybe we need to be not so okay with the status quo. Maybe we look a little too much like the world around us. Maybe we need to take discipleship more seriously. Maybe we need to take a good hard look at Jesus and see where we don't line up. Maybe we need to step out of the driver's seat and step down from the throne. So I want to challenge you to give it some thought. Give it some prayerful attention. Look at your life. Look at the state of your heart. Look at the way you spend your time. And ask yourself, what is one thing I can do? What is one habit I can begin to incorporate into my daily life? How can I move one step closer to holiness, one step closer to Jesus in this upcoming year? See, God does command us to be holy. But He's also gracious with us as we get there. We have the help of one another. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. And our call is to keep moving forward. Keep pursuing Christ. Keep pressing on into holiness. Keep singing the songs of Christmas. Amen.